your working class radio experience, where hard work, common sense, and rational thought are a reality. The Rick Smith Show.
Working hard to make a left, rich and farmer, father, son, left a cabby on blue denim, had his vape. He's a working class man.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Still hung up on the big flub at the speech today. And look, you know, everyone makes a mistake. But, you know, someone would, this big, someone catches
right
it.
Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change.
Yeah, it's got to change. We got to stop that birth stuff from happening. There you go. Anyway, the clock is ticking down to the 10 o'clock vote. I guess that's when the vote might happen. Midnight around the corner. Going to be very interesting to see if they flip the switch, if they pull the trigger. If the Republicans decide, hey, we got to have it. And like Trump said, got to have a good one. Got to have a good shutdown. Here to talk about the shutdown, I've asked our good friend Scott Dworkin to come talk with us. Scott is the co-founder of the Democratic Coalition. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So do you think it's going to happen? Do you think at the last minute, like a good episode of 24, that they're going to defuse the ticking bomb?
No. I don't believe that they're going to figure it out. I think that they'll probably figure it out before Monday, Tuesday being the latest. So I don't think this is going to last very long. But, you know, my hope, obviously, is that Democrats stand their ground, because if you look at it, between now and when DACA expires, as an example, there's not going to be another point where there's going to be repercussions for Republicans if they don't help pass an act that protects Dreamers. So it's really up in the air right now as to whether or not, Democrats will bend and maybe do a continuing resolution between now and, extend the government funding for like 4 or 5 days. That might be something they go for, but they're not going to let them kick the can down the road much more, and they're definitely not going to let them hold, pregnant women, children, Dreamers, and people who need their health care hostage anymore. And I think that it's time we take a stand,
Yeah, how ironic is it that, you've got Trump, who's the first president to address these Right to Life people who come to the Capitol every year, at a time when we're literally going to be taking health care from children, taking health care from pregnant women, putting their lives in jeopardy, the lives of the people that they want to throw out of this country who have probably never seen the place that they're going to, putting their lives in jeopardy. How ironic is it that you've got the pro-life people out marching in the streets when so many of the people's lives could be in peril?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, if you're pro-life, you need to be able to support those, in our community, and they're just not willing to do that. And you have to put the money where the mouth is. And it really is, well, let's support them until the time that they give birth. And then they kind of stop. They're like, okay, you're good. And even then, it's not a lot of people that are in Congress and the Republican side of things don't support, abortion in the case of rape or incest. I mean, a lot of it's just disgusting. When it comes down to it. So it really bothers me when they do talk a big game about being pro-life. And there's, millions of people right now with anxiety on a daily basis because they don't know if they're going to be sent to a place, like you said, that they've never been before, or if they're going to have health insurance if they get the flu. This is obscene. And I think it's all coming down to the fact that Trump is willing to negotiate anything, including humanity. And that is where, that's where it goes off the rails, because this is what they've always wanted. This is a Tea Party win. If the government shuts down, right, and they don't make a deal on DACA, and they don't fund people's health insurance, that's all dreams that Pence and all his cronies have wanted for years. So this is what they've been aiming for a long time. And so I would say that they're probably celebrating, as sick as that sounds, that, you know, they're going to be celebrating that $250,000 a couple of plate dinner tomorrow night in Mar-a-Lago, probably, no matter what, even if the government shuts down. So I'm just really, I'm disappointed, but at the same time, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's no surprise, because look, I like the quote of from Jeff Flake. He said, you know, Republicans always seem to get blamed for government shutdowns. And my response is, yeah, because you're the ones who are always taking us to the brink, always putting us in this situation where, you know, it's down to the last minute. This is no way to run a country, Scott. It's not. This is a, right. This isn't how you run a hamburger shack, let alone in the most powerful country on earth.
It's how you run a Trump company. You take everything you possibly can from it. You suck the blood out of it. And then he usually walks away when it's the end of bankruptcy. And at this point, we're at a morally bankrupt part of history in regards to the United States. And I think he really wants to, you know, make us fight for human rights at the most basic level, which dangling that over our heads is so inhumane and unreasonable. It is Stalin-like, you know, as Blake had mentioned the other day. And it's something that Hitler would do. And I hate making that reference because you don't want to go straight to there. But you know, the bottom line with Trump is that he doesn't want dreamers to be here. He doesn't think they have a right to be here. On top of the fact that he doesn't think those children deserve a health insurance program like that. And that's why he doesn't want to fund it. If they had, like, it's all, it would be a great win for America for dreamers to just be able to stay here. Like, think about it if Republicans turned and they just decided, you know what, we're going to take the lead on it. You know, that'd be a gigantic win for their party.
Yep. No, I mean, look, because the polling is clear, you know? Scott. The polling is very clear. The last thing I saw, and I'm sure you probably saw it too, 86% of the country says they should stay. I don't care what it is. When 86% of this country, who is so polarized and so divided, comes together and says, we want this, you would think that our elected leaders would be doing backflips to try and figure out how to make sure it gets done.
Right, and most people in the United States that at least know one person that's a dreamer, you know, somebody through their family or friends, and they see the benefits of society. And it really is nonsense. I think of it as, okay, if you want to turn off the sprinkler from flowing in regards to immigration so that we can fix things, that's one thing. But when you want to try and go back decades to mistakes where Congress didn't take care of what they would consider a problem, like, that's done. It's over. They're here. They're here to stay. And you know, they want us to be able to – they want us to have to fight about this so they can screw us over in some other realm.
Yep.
While, you know, while we're fighting over DACA and fighting over CHIP, which is the most basic kind of stuff, we're not going to be able to build on anything. We're just fighting for our basic right to live and live peacefully. You know what I mean? And I it drives me nuts because one of the things that they're doing is, imagine if you're here, you're 25 or you're maybe 22, you're in college, you're hardworking, you've been here since basically when you were born, and you're being told that you're going to be sent back to Venezuela, and you've never really been there before besides when you were born. I mean, it's absurd to think that you should send an American away just because, again, the government didn't set up the rules when we had an influx of immigration a while back. Like, that is what happened. It's over. So the thing that Trump, I think, wants to do is extend this out and wait until it expires so that we have to continue to fight over this issue instead of everything else. that's going on, because, again, if he can dangle human rights in front of us, then, you know, he can probably dangle anything. And that's the problem with a guy that's willing to negotiate with it, with anything, and also do business with anyone, you know?
No, I'm right there with you. I mean, and what I said today about his speech is, you know, he could say that stupid thing that he said, and that, and he may, you could say he just misspoke, but he could say that without, you know, even batting an eye, because he doesn't really believe it, has no real core values. Someone who had some core values would have known he misspoke and would have corrected himself.
Right, and when you misspoke, when he misspeaks, you know, hundreds of times and makes these calculated, right, these calculated quotes where, yes, some people would be like, oh, he misspoke, and then you muddy the water, but his base is thinking, oh, my God, these nasty people, 9 months in, they're letting him have abortions, and they're thinking about, you know, people in New York City or something like that, and he's painting this picture. So I don't give him the benefit of the doubt anymore. I believe that it's intentional, and I know that a lot of things are, you know, just a mess, and he's not that organized when it comes down to a lot. But when it comes to something like this, that's so glaringly obvious, that should have been corrected on sight and seen, this is just something to, again, rile up his base to make them think, oh, my gosh, like, I can't believe they're doing this. And he may have even written down, you know, 7 or 8 months and been like, nah, screw it, I'm just going to say 9.
No, no, I've
talking about that instead of everything else.
Yeah, but so, I've had some of these anti-abortion people tell me that in this country, you know, a mother can go to the hospital, you know, with labor pains, and right there make a decision. Do you want to have the baby or don't? You got the choice. You got time. Either it's born or we slaughter it in the womb. And I'm going, where are you getting this stuff from? Who makes this stuff up? Because, look, I've got 3 kids. We weren't given that option.
Right. It's really,
it's nuts.
It's tough to imagine, you know, what it's like to have a baby. I mean, I'm a dude, so I don't even understand it. But to have, you know, to get pregnant and not, you know, have to decide, you know, what to do with your body. And I don't think they're trying to act like it's a human rights issue, but it's a women's rights issue.
Yep.
And so I just get confused how all these rich white dudes walk around and are trying to make decisions for women as they always have. And that's probably the most infuriating thing, because there's going to be a middle ground, I think, as women take more leadership roles in Congress. I think there's going to be a real great middle ground where they can come up with something that works for everybody. But as of right now, it's just like everything else. It's like all or nothing. Like you're taking it to 9 months. They just want to say that, even if it's a lie. And, you know, that way you and I talk about that instead of, you know, the fact that he's still got all his business interests and he still, you know, runs his business from the White House now. And, you know, among other things, like, you know, paying off a porn star or, you know, cheating on his wife from the family of the party of morals. You know, I mean, like, this is it's absurd. And I think we're coming to a breaking point. It's more than just the government shutdown. It's more than that now. I think we're at a point where people are sick of it.
And I sure hope so.
I do too. I do too.
I sure hope so. But here's the thing. I mean, you see, you know, Doug Jones in Alabama winning. You see Wisconsin, mm-hmm. 2 seats in Wisconsin go to Democrats that haven't been in Democratic hands for years. You see, mm-hmm. you look at, you know, places like here in Pennsylvania where, you know, in the 18th congressional district, there's a real shot for a Democrat to pick up that seat. And I'm looking at 2018. Now, understand, I'm a little leery. I'm still cautious, but I'm optimistic mm-hmm. that the Democrats can maybe take back the House, hopefully take back the Senate, and stop this insanity.
We run through, you sprint through the finish line, and you know, I always say we're going to work like we're behind. We are obviously, but we are going to work as if we're going to lose everything. And that's the only way to win, because I've been in D.C. 12 years now, and I've seen, you know, us win the House, us lose the House, the Senate. Like, you know, I've been through all the cycles, and it really is going to come down to whether or not Democrats show up. And as of now, I have never, and this includes 2008, I have never seen this much excitement and passion from people that have never been involved with politics. And people that have been involved but stepped it up to a different level, decided to run for office locally, or, you know, decided to show up at their congressman's office to take a stand and try and talk to them. And, of course, they don't get the meeting. But it's really about that activism. Trump is one of the best, worst things that's ever happened in this country. So the bright side of it is, you know, people are waking up to the fact that there is pure evil that exists in this country, but we can fight back. It just takes time, and we have to do it every single day. And nothing will change unless we put Democrats back into power. There is nothing that will change. It will only get worse as time goes on. And I really do think that if Democrats take power, I don't think that Trump will be president at that point.
Interesting.
So that is one thing that I'm just from learning about Mueller and the timing and everything that's going on. I don't think that Trump can outlast Mueller. He's not going to be able to fire him. I think he'll try. But, you know, I think that this is going to spin out of control for him beyond his reach very quickly. And that's why they're desperately talking about this memo and other stuff like that. But, yeah, we gotta make sure that we hit every single House district we can, because in my time, I've realized, like, we don't know which ones we're going to win and which ones we're going to lose. I mean, we had races before. I think in 2006, Carol Shea Porter won, and I don't think she raised, like, you know, maybe $100,000+, and no one expected her to win, but we needed that in order to, you know, take back power, and so those are going to be the key races. We just need to make sure that we are as organized as possible, and we give every single Democrat a fair shake in regards to their efforts. Train them on fundraising, train them on organizing, make sure that they have the best staff that is available, and make sure that they're organized in a way that they can implement and win. Because the bottom line is, if we don't win, nothing happens. Nothing will change, and it will get worse, over time. And it's going to be in shorter intervals now. You know, things are going to be implemented in regards to Trump's terrible policies. And so we're going to see the outcomes of those, and they're going to be terrible. People are going to die.
Right there with you. Let me ask you about the 18th here in Pennsylvania, that Connor Lamb is the Democrat running against State Representative Rick Saccone. In a district of Mr. Family Values, anti-abortion guy who then cheats on his wife, thinks she's pregnant, and then tries to force her into having an abortion. Mr. Right. Family Values, good guy. What are we thinking about this seat? What are you thinking about this race? How do you see it?
I think Connor's going to take the high road in every single light, and he's not going to really bring up the former congressman that much. That's my job. My job is to make sure that people are reminded of exactly what kind of person you had as the Republican in office, and also to remind them that every seat matters. Every seat we take back makes it so much easier in November. I see this going to Lamb. I see it going 52-48. And at the end of the day, you know, Republicans spending a lot of money on it and a lot of time on it and a lot of efforts, but you can't buy enthusiasm. You really can't. They're not going to be able to match us, because we have the best example of rampant corruption, you know, down the street from me in the White House. And that's going to be the key. It's going to be a tell on Trump. It's going to be very clear that, it's an indicator that they don't support Trump. And again, I don't think it's going to be a landslide, but, you know, I'm thinking it's going to be like Alabama. There's a chance it could spin out of control because it's a special, and and, you know, there might be lower turnout. And there, if there's a lower turnout, I think there's going to be a higher Dem turnout than Republican, especially in this district, in my experience. So I think Connor's the right candidate. You know, he's not as progressive as one would hope, at least me. But I'm, you know, so far left that it probably wouldn't work for this district. So as he is, he definitely is by far the best candidate. You know, Saccone, I don't think he would be the right fit. And I think he's going to lose. I think Connor being young and energetic and having enough progressive ideals, you know, to back up a fight against Trump, I think he's going to be a great addition to the Democratic caucus.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to him being a guy who claims to be he's going to help push union issues. He's going to help be a very worker centric candidate. I'm excited about that because do we need more of those. I had one other question I wanted to ask you about. You know, you're a big guy on Twitter. Did you see this report? Evidently, Twitter is going to be sending out almost 700,000. Emails to their users to tell them that they were evidently contacted or retweeted or liked or something with these Russian bots. Did you see this?
I did not. I think I saw that they were planning on doing it or whatever. I am sure that, you know, below Hillary Clinton, I was one of the more trolled people. As you may or may not know, even in April, as we were digging up stuff on the Trump-Russia and investigating that, you know, the UK embassy, the Russian UK embassy tweeted out what my security people took as a threat, where it said, you know, they included Louis Mensch into it and said, congrats for you guys calling Trump Putin's puppet. And it was the Great Gatsby, Leo DiCaprio in the bottom and a meme cheersing. And it was just so creepy. I didn't take it as a threat, but they did take it as a threat for targeting. And then that's when I got the trolling to the next level. You know, I think that there's got to be, you know, maybe a mid-level in regards to verification where people can get some sort of check mark, whether it's a different color or something like that, if they're not verified, where they can verify that they're an actual person and Twitter has on record who they are. That would might be helpful, you know, in regards to having Russian versus American bots. But there's really, it comes down to the individual making sure that they don't engage with, you know, somebody that's in a Russian troll farm. And if they don't know, right, and Twitter does, they have to tell us. And that's one of the things that I think should be made law. You know, and I think that some things like that are going to have to be evolved in regards to, you know, today, for example, you know, you have WikiLeaks and you have Russian bots working with, in coordination with the Republican Party, Trump and Nunes and everybody else about this release the memo as the new thing that they can try and wave around as a reason to fire Mueller. That's all it is.
Yep.
They lost in the dossier. They lost. That's pretty much over. Now it's just a catchphrase for them, but they can't use that to fire Mueller. So they're trying to get another piece of paper to wave around. And things like this should be, you know, considered treason. When you pair up and, you know, get a hashtag trending nationally to try and discredit the investigation, you know, via the country that attacked us in the first place. I mean, it's a point of ridiculousness where they are so desperate to fight back. They're willing to take the assistance from Russia, just like Trump did and just like his campaign did. So I think we're going to see Mueller come out swinging. And with that, there will be a bunch of laws that are enacted that make it harder for this sort of stuff to happen. It may not be completely preventable, but, you know, the people at Twitter are very smart. I'm sure they can figure it out. They just need to have some more transparency in regards to what we're seeing, who we're interacting with. And I think they can pick that up a notch. It's really just about brainstorming and bouncing off ideas to figure out how can we make ourselves safer online.
Yeah, well, the hope is that we do, and this November, again, so important to me. Like I said, guardedly optimistic. But, Scott, I appreciate you taking time for us, sharing some of your thoughts. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me on.
Always good stuff. Our good friend Scott Dworkin. You want to check out his website, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com of how you can check out the Democratic Coalition site. He is the co-founder there. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.